Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this day, the second Sunday in Easter tide, as we gather here to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad that you are here. The Sunday after Easter, like the Sunday after Christmas, is often a low Sunday, but we are definitely glad that you have all taken the time to be here with us this morning. Just ask that you please make sure you read your bulletin, also go to our church website in order to stay abreast of everything that is going on, happening here at Omni Presbyterian Church, especially as we begin to go into the summer months. As has been stated before, we hope to resume some programming, such as a vacation Bible school. So please make sure that you stay abreast of what is happening here at Omni Presbyterian Church.
Our New Testament reading is taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 19 through 31. So let us listen to God's word for us. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hand the print of the nails, and to place my finger, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, and the doors were shut. But Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Peace be to you. In John's Gospel, those are the first words of the resurrected Lord to his disciples. It's still the first day of the week, the first Easter evening. The followers of Jesus are huddled together. They are fearful behind locked doors in the upper room. They've heard strange rumors from Mary Magdalene that she has seen the Lord. She has seen the resurrected Lord, but they don't know what to make of those rumors. They are still overcome by their fears. But despite their fears and their locked doors, the resurrected Lord comes to them. He comes to be in their midst. He shows himself to them and he says, peace be with you. I've always been intrigued by the fact that the resurrected Lord takes the trouble to impress upon his disciples that he is not a ghost, that he is not a spirit, he is not an apparition of some kind, but he is the bodily, risen, resurrected Lord who still bears the wounds from the crucifixion on his body. That's important because the bodily resurrection of the Lord is not just about what God has done for Jesus. And it's not just about what God has promised to do for all of us who are in Christ, but it's about what God has promised to do for all of creation. It's about what God has promised to do for this material world. God has promised to liberate this world from the ravages of death and decay. I was reading a couple of days ago, I think it was Earth Day. And Earth Day is a day when people gather together who are concerned about the earth, concerned about the environment, and it just struck me that we Christians are the original Earth Day people. We are concerned about the world. We are concerned about the earth. We are concerned about the earth because we worship the Creator God, the God who created the world out of the overflowing of God's love, the God who has already undertaken to redeem the world in the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are people who recognize that God's plan is not to destroy the world. God's plan is not to throw the world away. God is not in the throwaway business. God is in the redeeming business. God is in the saving business, the loving business. And when you love something, you don't throw it away. And that includes, of course, relationships. Which is why I like what Jesus says to his disciples in our text this morning. The first thing that he tells them, he says, peace be to you. If there was ever a relationship that was right to be thrown away with the one between the Lord and his early disciples, they just seem to be so at odds with each other. The disciples are constantly bumbling and bumbling, following Jesus. They had one view of reality, and Jesus seemed to have a whole new view of reality. They seemed to have differences that were irreconcilable, and in the end, of course, they betrayed him, and they denied him, and they deserted him. Had I been the resurrected Lord, I would have probably been through with all of them, and yet the first thing that the Lord does when he comes into their midst is he passes the peace to them. Peace be to you. Peace to you. Judas, of course, who treacherously betrayed the Lord and then committed suicide, was not there on that first Easter evening. But I'm almost certain, had Judas been there in the upper room with the rest of the disciples, the Lord would have said the same thing to him. Peace be to you, Judas. Peace, my brother. Peace be to you. One of the things we've had to do because of the pandemic is we've curtailed a little bit the passing of the peace that we do every Sunday. I have to say, I like the passing of the peace. You know, one of the things I don't like or didn't like whenever I was visiting churches is, you know, when someone would say during the time of welcome, if you have any visitors among you, please stand and identify yourself. I used to hate that, you know, particularly being an introvert. That's very taxing on us introverts, and I used to hate that, but I love the passing of the peace. There's always something special with having a blessing of peace conferred upon you, and indeed with being able to confer a blessing of peace on others. I know some people wonder why we include that bit in the liturgy. After all, they say some of us have already greeted each other before the service. Some of us will probably be greeting each other and visiting with each other after the service. So, you know, why is it in there? But it's included in the liturgy to remind us that as God's people, as new creation people, as resurrection people, you and I are called to be people of peace. Not the easy kind of peace that we often see in the world, the peace that comes when people look alike or think the same way. But the peace that passes all understanding, because it is the peace of the Lord himself. And that's what Jesus says. Peace be to you. Peace. In the liturgy, of course, we do everything for a reason, and we have the passing of the peace. It comes right after the call of the confession and the declaration of forgiveness. And it's there because we recognize that we have been forgiven by God. We have peace with God. God has forgiven us of our sins, and we have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, we are now called to be at peace with each other. Of course, it's hard to be at peace with God if we're not at peace with each other. That's why Jesus says over in Matthew's gospel that if you come to bring your gift to the altar and recognize your brother and sister as something against you, then leave your gift there at the altar and go reconcile yourself to your brothers and sisters. Go there, make peace with them, and then come back. Peace be with you. But it's not just peace among ourselves that Jesus confers upon us, but it's also peace within ourselves. I imagine the disciples were filled with all kinds of things in their hearts on that first Easter evening. They had heard Jesus. They had contributed to actions that led to his death, that let him down. I imagine they were filled with a sense of shame. Have you ever been filled with the sense of shame? Shame, maybe you've hurt somebody and you don't want to face them. Or maybe you've been the one who's been hurt or whatever. But I imagine they've been filled with a sense of shame. They don't want to see Jesus. And yet Jesus says, don't be ashamed. But peace be to you. I want you to be people of peace. In the Bible, of course, peace is about being whole. It's about being complete. It's about life that is lived without anxiety and fear. And of course, we live in a chaotic world. We live in a fear-inducing world. A world that riddles us with all kinds of anxieties. It seems every time we look up, there's something that causes us fear, a shooting here, a bombing there, something that causes us to be afraid. I have an app on my telephone that dings every so often. It dings with a news story, and I'll check it. It'll be some kind of news story, a local news story. And it's always something that is fear-inducing. Couple found shot, or man hit while trying to cross the street, or some crime taking place in the city, something that induces fear. And indeed, that's the kind of world that we live in, a fear-inducing world. Some people have figured out that fear is even profitable. They can make us afraid. It's to their advantage. And we live in that kind of world. And of course, the ultimate fear, the fear of death itself, that's the fear that undergirds all of our other fears. What the Apostle Paul called the last great enemy, the death. It's the fear of death that causes us to be hunkered down in our locked spaces. afraid to love, afraid to be vulnerable, afraid to put our lives at risk, afraid of a changing world, afraid of people who are different from us, afraid of people who don't believe the way we do. We are hunkered down in our locked away places, often afraid. But Jesus is able to get around our locked doors, bolted as they are by the fear of death. And he says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't be afraid. I've already overcome the power of death. I'm all the proof that you need, that God is not in the throwing away business, but God is in the redeeming business. God is in the saving business. God is in the loving business. And what God loves, God does not throw away. So peace. Peace be with you, my brothers and sisters. Let your heart this morning be at peace. You know, I'm convinced that only a peaceful heart can really serve God. Only a peaceful heart can overcome the fears that our world often throws in its way to really serve God. That passage from Acts that Lisa read this morning about the apostles going out. I mean, they were fearful behind locked doors, so afraid to leave. And then something happened, something that sent them out into the world, something that sent them out in which they weren't afraid anymore. And we know what it was. It was the resurrected Lord himself. Peace, he said, be upon you. You don't have to be afraid. They're no longer afraid. They go out into the world, go out to confront the authorities of the world, the forces and powers of the world. The good news of the gospel that Jesus is Lord. I was reading the other day that it was anniversary of Rosa Parks, who was the lady who refused to get off the bus that helped to catapult the civil rights movement. If anyone had any reason to be afraid, she had every reason that she had peace. Peace in her heart. She loved God, and it was, when you hear her tell her story, it was her deep commitment to the ways of the Lord, her deep commitment to the kingdom of God. It gave her a peace that passes all understanding. And she wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid to go out into the world to do the work that God had called her to do. Of course, none of us can give ourselves that kind of peace. It only comes through the Prince of Peace himself. It only comes through the one who said, peace be still. It comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who gives us that peace. That's what he does for his disciples. In our text this morning, he blows the Holy Spirit upon them, and he sends them out into the world. He sends them out to be people of peace. That's what he tells you. Tells them to forgive. I'm going to make you agents of forgiveness, which in my mind means making them agents of peace. And so he says, peace be to you. Peace, my brothers and sisters. I want you to be people of peace. The thing is, I don't think that much of the world simply be convinced by our proclamation that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is indeed resurrected, that the resurrected Lord is indeed the Lord of the world. People will not be convinced merely by what we say. And of course, people will not have the opportunity that the first disciples had. They'll not be able to see the resurrected Lord. They'll not be able to put their finger in his wounds. They'll not be able to touch him. They'll not be able to see any of that. But what will convince them if they see in us that we are people who have peace, that we are peaceful people, forgiving people, that we are people who have God's peace upon us. In a world that is embroiled in conflict and war, in a world where everybody is shaken up and filled with anxiety, Jesus says, peace be to you. Peace, my brothers and sisters. My peace I give to you for the sake of the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning giving thanks for your gracious, loving spirit that you've blown on all of us, that you've blown on each and every one of our lives, that you've blown on this little faithful congregation here this morning. It is because we have your spirit all over us, your spirit of peace, your spirit of love, your spirit of compassion, that we have hope. Hope for your coming future, and hope that propels us out into the world to love our neighbor just as we love ourselves. And so we ask, Lord, that you continue to send us out and to help all of us be the loving, forgiving people of peace that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of the one who is the Prince of Peace himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.